As we await Barry, we'll get the very latest on what Acadiana can expect and what to get ready for. In the NBA, it never slows down. What a story involving Russell Westbrook. We'll get the very latest details. Saints, about ready to start training camp. Who's going to be the MVP? Who's going to be the most improved player? And which rookie is going to contribute the most? We'll share some opinions on that and much, much more. Today, it is Friday, July 12th, 2019.
This ball's grounded, left side, booted by Altuve, kicks into foul territory off to the right. Scoring is to Shields. On his way to third goes Mazzara. Gallo into second, and the Rangers lead 2-0.
Curve ball, and that's poked into left field. Coming in on it, Brantley, you have to play it on a hop. Odor score. It's 5-0 Rangers.
Rangers trying to get back on the winning track in the second half. Losers of 6 of 8 before the break. Astros winners of 7 of 8 before the break. 3-2 again. That's bounce pass Martin. He slows it down. Barehanded by Andrews. Throw to first is in time. Andrews barehanding that just to the right of second. And that is the ball game. Texas Rangers take the first game of this four-game series, defeating the Astros by a final of 5-0.
It wasn't a great return from the All-Star break for the Astros, and my buddy Alex Bregman fielded a ground ball with his face. My, oh my, goodness gracious. Hope he is A-OK. But all of that pales in comparison to, of course, the events that are taking place as Barry expected to hit land. Well, let's get the very latest from the expert. He has been kind enough to join us for the past several days, to see how the area that you're in Acadiana, is going to be affected by Barry. Chris Cozart, meteorologist of KLFY, kind enough to join us. Chris, thanks so much again for the time, buddy. Update us on the latest information that you have, please.
Yeah, so we still have Tropical Storm Barry in the northern Gulf there. It's just really all four of the southeastern coast of the state, and it has been gaining strength, still disorganized, but the hurricane hunters have been out there, and they have found winds at about 65 miles per hour, gusts stronger than that. So now we're talking a very strong tropical storm here with 65 mile per hour winds. It's slowly moving off to the west-northwest at about 5 miles per hour. And the latest forecast comes from the National Hurricane Center that just came out at 10 a.m. has Barry continuing to strengthen, and now it's back in the forecast that it will become a weak Category 1 hurricane before making landfall sometime early Saturday morning, time frame somewhere probably between about 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. It's tough because it's going to be pretty much riding the coastline of, let's say, St. Mary Parish, going up right towards Vermilion Bay, as, again, possibly a very strong tropical storm to a weak Category 1 hurricane. So Acadiana still is right in the path of this, and we are looking at that significant rain threat on the east side of the system. And with the track just shifted a little bit further west here, that brings in the higher risk to see some of those really high and extreme rainfall totals to parts of Acadiana with this. And that will be, again, Saturday morning through much of Saturday with tropical storm force to hurricane force winds. And along the coast, Vermilion Parish, Iberia, St. Mary Parish, coastal storm surge will be an issue as well.
Chris, the big concern I have for this, the rain's going to come. The question is this going to be a slow moving tropical storm slash hurricane, or is this thing going to intensify and get some speed to it and get the heck out of Dodge?
Yeah, that's one good thing that the models at least do show, is that it's going to continue some momentum here. I'm not too concerned about any type of really slow lurking system that kind of just hangs around here. Once it finally does start to make this jaunt to the north, It will take a little time here, but it's a decently fast-moving system per se. The only concern I have is that by Sunday morning, it should be in northern Louisiana, but the models are showing some rain bands, believe it or not, that extend all the way from northern Louisiana all the way back to the Gulf. And even Sunday morning, we could be dealing with some tropical rain bands from Barry that set up and bring some flash flooding. So, again, I think it's going to be a relatively quick-moving system, but we could be dealing with it for much of the weekend.
Okay. Jeez Louise. You mentioned the fact that this thing has shifted a little bit toward the west. We still believe that Baton Rouge, New Orleans is going to get the major brunt of this thing. But by shifting a few degrees, how does that affect Acadiana?
Well, it really brings in that threat for those extreme rainfall totals that the models are putting out. You know, some areas it's showing 15 to 25 inches of rain by the end of Sunday there. And by going a little bit further west, that certainly brings that threat more into Acadiana. I think it would be more for the eastern half of Acadiana. I still think that even New Orleans will see some pretty high rainfall totals, but I would say anywhere from really west of New Orleans to Baton Rouge, and then even here in Acadiana, I'm talking more Generette now, New Iberia, up towards St. Martinville, and we can't rule out Lafayette, Youngsville, and Broussard, possibly getting some higher rainfall totals in the range of about, so we could put around 6 to 12 inches by the time we're done with this.
When is it, when would you recommend, because people are, you know, still going out, stocking up, getting things, when is all this heavy stuff starting to come? When do you anticipate it? When is it the best time to, hey, just stay put, don't go anywhere?
Well, I think you pretty much have the rest of your Friday here. I think even if you maybe still had to go to work today and you're getting off work around 5 to 6 o'clock, you still have some time during the evening hours there. But I wouldn't go past. A lot of places are putting in curfews starting around 10 o'clock here, and I think that's a good number there. I'd say try to get everything done by 10 p.m. Now, the worst part of this storm really won't arrive until mid to late in the morning for much of Acadiana. Now, our coastal parishes will obviously start to see the impacts a lot earlier. I'd say, again, anytime a little after midnight for our coastal parishes between about 1 to 5 a.m., and then the further north you head, of course, those impacts will be a little bit later in the morning. So if you're still trying to make preparations, if maybe you're listening from work right now, you should still have some time after work to do a little bit more preparations before this happens because, again, it's going to be really Saturday morning that most of your impacts from this will be felt.
Okay. Chris, we'll keep it tuned to KLFY for your reports. I greatly appreciate everything, and let's keep our prayers, our fingers and toes crossed that this thing gets in, gets out, and affects as very few as possible. But the rain is coming, man, and I greatly appreciate you taking some time out to talk with us. Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate coming on. You're welcome.
All right, buddy, you take care. Chris Cozart, KLFY. So he's supposed to hit at Morgan City, and we heard at the top of the hour, maybe around 7 a.m., and this thing's going to be all of Saturday. And, again, Chris was cognizant of the fact that it's going to move up to the north, but we're still going to have those bands to the south of us all the way back down to the Gulf. We're still going to get some rain into Sunday as well. So get your shopping done, get your essentials done. And he said by about 10 o'clock tonight, shut it down and don't plan on going anywhere. Let's just ride this thing together. And, again, you can keep it here at 1037thegame.com. 1037thegame.com. You'll see it. It's very prominent. All the information that you need to know on Barry, which is expected to become a Category 1 hurricane on Saturday morning. So there's our weather report for the day. We've got sports to talk about as well. And the big story, of course, is Russell Westbrook. After Paul George left to go to the Clippers with Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook said, "We're not going to win. Get me out of here." What is surprising is all the experts pointed toward Miami, but Houston, who loves their superstars, trades Russell Westbrook. They get Russell Westbrook for Chris Paul. Now the question is, what are the Thunder going to do with Chris Paul and that enormous contract that he has? Grant Hughes at about 2:30 from Bleacher Report will join us. He's our national analyst, and he'll share his thoughts on that. Hour number two, Bob Rose will join us with talk about the New Orleans Saints. They're getting ready for camp next week. The rookies report on the 18th, the vets on the 25th, with Super Bowl or bust expectations running rampant through the Saints organization and the Who Dat Nation. We'll talk to Bob Rose about some categories that are very significant. My buddy George Becknell will talk a little this, a little that. History lesson involves a man more connected to his city from a sporting figure way than maybe any other player of any other sport of any other city. And he had a prominent role on this day back in the day. Some birthday wishes and more. Okay, it's Friday, so sit back and relax. We'll come back. We'll talk about two of the greatest in tennis meeting in the semifinals at Wimbledon. And who won? We'll share that with you next here. The Jordy Helper Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. We are Acadiana's sports station. Stick around.
Once more, unto the preach, dear friends.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from Jordy Holt. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Holtberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. 18 minutes after the hour, Grant Hughes will be joining us at around 2:32 this afternoon. Talking NBA free agency with Russell Westbrook heading to the Houston Rockets in exchange for Chris Paul. Been going to the store, loading up. What's your go-to feel-good food that you have for these storms? We ought to be good at it. I know you got to get water. I know you got to get all the essentials. You got to get batteries, flashlights, candles. You've got to get tissue paper and paper plates and all. You got to get your charcoal ready or get your gas grill all prepped up and ready to go. But I'm talking about the comfort food. What do you do? Some people say let's go to Popeyes and get a big old bucket of Popeyes fried chicken and make that last the weekend. That's not a bad idea. You know, you can email me, askjordy@gmail.com. You can also hit me on Twitter at JHS1037. You know, you got to have cookies, right? Now, you can't have the cookies that you cook in the oven, so you got to get, what about Oreos, Twix candy bars, stuff like that. You got to think of comfort food. What is it going to do? What do you need to make you feel good, make you feel special? We're so used to, you know, we're so used to air conditioning. We're so used to our refrigerator. We're used to, back in the day, back in those Western movies, they didn't have cold beer. They didn't have cold soft drinks. It was tap warm. Now we're spoiled. We're used to all this. And when we don't have it for a day, holy cow, we think that the world has come to an end. So, check your generators. Make sure they're working, right? Don't wait till the last second. Have a plan. Have it all figured out. And get it right. And again, Chris said, you know, about 10 o'clock tonight, shut it down. So hopefully the stores in Acadiana have replenished. I'm telling you, where I am, there's no more gasoline to be found. That's over. And stores are pretty much on the low side of things. On the low side. So what is your, you know, what are your go-to staples? You got to get bread, right? Got to get bread. You got to get sandwich meat. You know, get you a big old thing of hamburger meat and start making the patties. I'm a big hot dog fan, really am. So grilling dogs on the pit, that's one of my go-to staples. I love that. My kids don't. They're not big hot dog. You, I don't know about your kids, but mine, they are the finickiest of eaters. It's like you got to do two different menus. Menu column A, column B, and they're both different. They're both different. When one wants to go to one restaurant, the other one wants to go to another one. It is just complicated. Complicated. But anyway, make it as fun as you possibly can under adverse circumstances. And again, don't go anywhere. You don't have to. It's the weekend. Don't go anywhere. You just don't. Well, I saw a great tennis match. Roger Federer prevailed over Rafa Nadal. 7-6, 1-6, 6-3, 6-4. So the number two-seeded Federer will be taking on number one-seeded Novak Djokovic, who was a four-set winner today over Bautista Agut from Spain, 6-2, 4-6, 6-3, 6-2. 11 years ago, Nadal and Federer played in one of the greatest Wimbledon matches ever. And here they are 11 years later, still playing at the level that they are, at the top of their game, at the top of their sport. Consistently great. Consistently great. Man. Federer, always a fan favorite at Wimbledon. Nadal gets all of his credit on the clay courts of Stade Roland Garros for the French Open. And Federer, in their 40th career showdown, those two know how to put on a show. They just do. Federer reached his 12th final at the All England Club. He will seek a record-extending ninth title when he takes on number one-seeded Djokovic on Sunday. That's pretty exciting stuff. Just the consistency, the level of greatness for so long is amazing. Federer, a 20-time Grand Slam singles champion. The first set, everybody held serve, went to a tiebreaker. Federer won that. And then he kind of exhaled for a second in the second set. Nadal jumped all over him, and it was over, 6-1. And then Federer kicked it into another gear, took advantage of some he just capitalized on his serve. He had 14 aces, landed 69% of his first serves. He would go to the four up the middle. He'd go wide. He'd do whatever it took. He kept Nadal off balance, and that was pretty good. So it was their first meeting at Wimbledon since that epic final in 2008 when Nadal won in a fifth set, 9-7, as darkness descended. That was 11 years ago, and here they are again meeting in a semifinal and playing, putting on a show for the crowd. They were on their feet cheering. It was great, great tennis. I just really appreciate how great they are. I've always said that. I want to see the greatest perform at their highest level, and they are. Now, that match far out or superseded the other semifinal, but Novak Djokovic showed why the Wimbledon title runs through him. He won it a year ago, and he was dynamic as well. Sets up a great, great final on Sunday. I just hope and pray that I have power to be able to watch the match. Please let me watch the match. So, Entergy, please be ready. I'm looking out my window right here. The skies are, you can see the clouds moving very, very quickly. The trees are swaying rather convincingly. So it's not much long for now, and it'll be upon us. But hopefully it will move in and out quickly. Hopefully Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal, and Novak Djokovic will continue to play tennis at the level that they are, because it is phenomenal. My era, it was McEnroe, Bjorn Borg, Connors, Agassi, Lendl, superstars that carried the game. And these superstars are doing it as well. They are just remarkable to watch at an age where they just continue to perform at an elite level. I thought, 5 years ago, I thought Federer was basically done. But he has resurrected his career again, and has become injury-free. is in great shape and just continues. I mean, his serves on that grass are just, I don't know how you return them. I just don't. He is, he's my favorite to watch. He is so smooth. It's like, you know, who's your favorite James Bond? Everybody has their own. But as far as tennis is concerned, you know, Sampras was great. But this guy, man, I love watching Federer. He just glides. He is so athletic. He's like a Baryshnikov with tennis shoes on. He's just effortless and just so smooth, and he's great. So a great, great, great tennis match. Serena Williams and Halep will play for the women's title tomorrow. Who's going to beat Serena? What a remarkable story she is. Remarkable story. But anyway, tennis, front row, center stage in the sporting world. Not far behind, because it's not really on the court. It's off the court. But NBA free agency, another blockbuster move. We'll explain it next with Grant Hughes, NBA feature writer for Bleacher Report, the league that just keeps on giving. The station that keeps on giving. Information up to the date on Barry. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. We'll be back.
Whose last name is a state. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 1037 The Game.
It's the league, as we always say, that just keeps giving and giving, and it never seems to disappoint us, even when the dog days of summer are upon us. And now there's another story out there that involves the Houston Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. No one better to explain the who's, the whys, the what's than our good friend, Mr. Grant Hughes, feature NBA writer for Bleacher Report. My goodness gracious. Grant, these players have so much control over things. I've never seen anything like it. How are you?
I'm doing great. I wish I had that much control over my job and my life. It'd be nice.
Why can't owners and GMs say, well, Anthony Davis says, I want to be traded, and the owner, no, we got you for two more years. We're not trading you. Why do they just condescend and give in so quickly and so amicably?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of reasons, and I agree, first of all, that the level of player empowerment has never been greater. You know, Kawhi Leonard basically got a guy on another team who was under contract out of that team just by making it happen. Yes. By force of will. I mean, I don't know if that's been happening all along and the reporting is now such that we hear about everything, or if that's really the first. Anyway, yeah, no question. But I think the issue is, you know, there are 10, 12, 15 players in the league at any given time, I think, who you can sort of say, this is a guy that can do something that no one else in the world can do, or, you know, only those 10 or 12 other guys can do. And so it makes sense that that guy, whether it's Leonard, whether it's Harden, you know, Westbrook, Durant, whatever, that guy should have more power than anyone, because there are 30 billionaire owners in the league, but there's 100 more that would take those jobs and do them probably close to as well. Same thing with coaches, executives. I think that upper class of players just has a skill set that you can't duplicate. And so it sort of feels natural to me that those guys who are irreplaceable are assuming more and more power, because in a way, I think they deserve it.
All right. So do you buy that James Harden had enough of playing with Chris Paul and kind of forced this thing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, there was a report, Vincent Goodwell for Yahoo reported that, you know, Harden and Chris Paul's relationship was unsalvageable, you know, like a month ago. And the Rockets came out and denied it up and down. Huh. And I think the lesson is that we should probably listen to the reporter, presuming there's a track record there, which there was in this case, and maybe don't listen so much to the team's spin control after the fact. So I think definitely there was a rift there, and that had a huge hand in the trade that took place yesterday.
Okay, try to make sense of this for me, okay? So the Rockets like to kind of walk it up. They like to put the ball in James Harden's hand. He dribbles, and if they send a double team, then he kicks it out to a three-point shooter, and that's how the Houston Rockets basically play. If not, Harden's going to take the ball, shoot it himself, or drive to the basket. Chris Paul didn't like that because Chris Paul's used to having the ball in his hands and doing things. What in the world makes you think that Russell Westbrook, who plays at a pace unlike any player I've ever seen, up and down the floor, that needs the ball in his hand, is going to work this thing out with James Harden? I don't get it. Please tell me the logic behind this.
I wish I could give you some. I really do. I don't like this trade at all for the Rockets for a number of reasons. The on-court fit, I think, being one of the biggest. In addition to they gave up a bunch of assets, first-round picks and pick swaps, to take on a guy with a longer contract and who's going to decline, whose game is based on athleticism. But this fit just – so here, I've been thinking about it a lot. The best justification I can make, and this doesn't really address your question about how is this going to work, you know, X's and O's wise, is that the Rockets decided that James Harden keeps wearing down in the playoffs, and that's why we're losing, which makes a little bit of sense. I mean, he does have a history of slowing down. And he had carried a heavy load last year, huge usage, huge volume. Maybe the thought is we can lean on Russell Westbrook during the regular season. We can rest James Harden for 20 games, and it's not going to kill us. And then we can go back to playing with Harden as the guy in the postseason. And maybe that's what gets us over the hump in a league that's a little more wide open now. But that doesn't address how you're going to make this work when both are on the floor in the games that matter. And I don't know what the answer is because James Harden stands still off the ball, doesn't do anything. Russell Westbrook stands still off the ball, doesn't do anything. So you're going to be playing some 4-on-5, like a lot. And I just don't know how that fit's going to work.
And Westbrook's not exactly the best three-point shooter out there. He's more of a drive, mid-range game kind of guy. His three-point shooting is pretty woeful, to be quite honest with you. And that's absolutely counterproductive of what D'Antoni wants to do.
Right. And look, you know, when the Rockets were really at their best a couple of years ago, when they pushed the Warriors to 7 games and you know, probably should have gone to the finals, their defense was excellent. They were a great defensive team all year and in the playoffs. And Westbrook, for my money, is one of the 4 or 5 worst defenders at the point guard spot in the entire league. And it's not because of a lack of ability. It's just that he doesn't engage and pay attention on that end. He's just been really bad for several years. So, look, you know, the offense is going to be clunky and difficult to figure out. But defensively, now your backcourt is Harden and Westbrook. You know, two guys with reputations that are about as bad as it gets. I mean, I don't know how Houston's going to stop anybody in addition to figuring out this weird mix on offense.
I'm with you. The big question now is, does Oklahoma City keep Chris Paul or does Sam Presti get some more assets in his arsenal?
So, I mean, certainly the way it's gone, it seems like Sam Presti is going to flip Chris Paul for 3 more first-rounders somehow and just, you know, get up to 11 or 12 future first-rounders somehow in one offseason. But, you know, I think Chris Paul could really work in Oklahoma City. I think he could do a lot of things, involve guys in a better way, better than Westbrook did in a lot of respects. I he's not as durable. That's a huge factor. But I think ultimately he's going to be moved just because, you know, there was talk initially of involving a third team in this deal, which suggests to me that Paul didn't want to be in Oklahoma City. And based on the way that the Thunder have, you know, the Thunder also, obviously, they traded Paul George. They traded Jeremy Grant. They're picking up draft assets. It doesn't seem like a place you want a 34-year-old point guard. It doesn't make a lot of sense for what their new timeline is going to be.
Who do you think that third team was? I mean, do the Lakers have anything else to offer?
Well, the Lakers, I don't know if they could make it work now. In the unlikely event that Paul gets bought out, then that obviously changes. Miami seems to sniff around superstars all the time, no matter what. If I had to bet on it, I'd probably say Miami, just because, you know, they're obviously willing to give up a lot to get Jimmy Butler, who's a risky fit, in my opinion, on his own. Pat Riley seems to want to get one last run before he, you know, steps away. And getting Chris Paul, I think, maybe in his mind would help that happen. But yeah, it's tough to find a fit. I mean, Chris Paul's contract is a bad contract, and so is Westbrook's. And really, there aren't a lot of guys you could flip one for one or the other for except each other. So it's going to be a tough ask to get good value for him.
Grant Hughes, Bleacher Report, NBA feature writer. I wonder how Oklahoma City fans are feeling now. They've never, ever in their existence not had at least two superstars on their team. And now, in all likelihood, they're not going to have any. Boy, that's a welcome to reality sometimes.
Yeah, right. I think from the Thunder's perspective, though, this played out about as well as it could have. For, you know, the front office, I guess, just because, you know, Paul George asked to be traded. So you're powerless there. You got to move him. And Westbrook, I'm sure, you know, they had a conversation after that. But I guarantee that part of the talk was like, hey, we're not going to win here. Yes. You got to move me now, too. So, you know, there's no blood on Sam Presti's hands, the Thunder's GM. He just made the best of a bad situation. So I think from that perspective, the fans can sort of forgive or look past, you know, losing stars. And look, this team as composed was a first round out every year, so I think fans get frustrated with that after a while too. So all this that comes with all these picks, that's something new to kind of follow and enjoy. And look, fans like following, you know, hope and looking ahead at young guys and thinking about potential and stuff. So it'll be different, but I don't think you're going to lose fans necessarily at all.
Don't you think that Houston's taken a step back? I mean, I think Chris Paul was a better fit than Russell Westbrook. That's just me personally. How do you assess it?
It's so tough. I think the way I'd put it is they sort of opened up the spectrum of possibilities ahead of themselves. I think if somehow in the unlikely event this works, their ceiling is higher. But I think at the same time, the potential for a disaster is also greater, so the floor is lower too. I think it's most likely that they'll be a little bit worse, just because I don't think Westbrook is anything close to his reputation around the league. I think there are a lot of negatives he brings to the table. But there's just a tiny scenario where somehow they figure this out and talent just overwhelms everything. Unlikely, but a possibility. I think ultimately, though, this is a really dangerous move.
Yeah, I'm watching Federer and Nadal play tennis earlier today, and Federer wins in four sets. 11 years ago, they played one of the greatest matches in Wimbledon history. And 11 years ago, we had Westbrook, Durant, and Harden all on the same team. And here we are, 11 years later. Those two guys are still there. And look at the three in the NBA. They're scattered here, there, and everywhere. It's crazy, this free agency stuff and players with their power and moving. It's just absolutely, I mean, it keeps the league so prevalent. And, I mean, we're talking NBA basketball here on July the 12th. We used to never do that stuff.
Right, and I think what it does, I think there are downsides to it for sure. You lose continuity, you probably lose rivalries, which a lot of people value. But what it does is it increases uncertainty. Right. And, you know, what did everyone complain about the last few years? It's, oh, the Warriors are too good, it's not fair, the title's a foregone conclusion. It seems like everybody wants a little bit more of the unknown. Mm-hmm. And all this player movement, I mean, if it accomplishes anything, it does that. Because every year now, we have questions about how superstars X and Y are going to fit together, and which new pair is better than the other, and who, you know, which of the dozen title contenders we have now are going to pull through. It's just, it increases all that stuff, which I think obviously is probably good for the league.
if there's ever a time to forget about conferences, let's just put the best teams in the playoffs. And the I've never seen the West with so many possibilities. I've never seen it like this.
Yeah, it's wild. I just, you know, you look at it and you look at a team like, take Minnesota or Sacramento, you know, both of whom I think could be significantly better than they were a year ago. The Kings won 39 games. Maybe with, you know, they added four veteran free agents that are going to help. Their young guys should get better. Maybe they win 48, 49 games, and maybe they don't make the top eight. You know, this is going to be one where a bunch of really good West teams have to watch a bunch of pretty bad East teams make the playoffs from home. And so
I
just don't know what the argument is for keeping conferences anymore, because this just keeps happening. Just, you know, this idea that it's going to be cyclical, that the East is going to balance back out, just it isn't happening. So they got to figure something out.
I'm with you. Grant Hughes, Bleacher Report. Yeah, I got to go back to Kawhi Leonard for a minute. I don't know if he's got this thing figured out. You know, he could have gone with the max deal with the Clippers, but no, 2 years with a player option for the third. So he's gonna see how this thing works for two seasons with the Clippers. He may win another title, and then he's going to leave and go somewhere else with another great player. And he seems to, more so than anybody else, have this thing figured out to best advantage himself, best leverage himself to keep winning. He's amazing.
Yeah, and he does it all without – I think he gets away with it, you know, because you can imagine a different personality that was more knowable or said more or was easier to sort of figure out getting criticized. Nobody talks about Leonard just got himself traded from the Spurs. I mean, that was not that long ago.
Yes.
He's obviously got a full handle on how to control his own professional life. And it's amazing to me that he's done it all while sort of staying kind of criticism free. That's a tough two-step to pull off.
Yep. It really, really, truly is. All right. If you had to parlay, if the dust is all settled, if this is all that's going to happen, who's your favorite in the West? Who's your favorite in the East?
I think I think it's the Clippers in the West, and that feels like a knee jerk reaction. But I just, you know, they got a 10-man rotation because, unlike the Lakers, they have role guys just sitting there waiting for stars to come help. So I think the Clippers are probably my favorite team in the West. In the East, it's a toss-up to me between Milwaukee and Philadelphia. And Philadelphia, you know, remade 40% of its starting five, too. And everybody else in the East is a big notch below that to me. So I'm not sure who I like better of those two, but those are the ones I'd be watching for sure.
Grant Hughes, if you have a jump shot, man, Philly needs you. I'm too old, man. My knees are too bad, but you're young. If you got a jump shot, go audition for the Sixers. You'll get a spot on that team.
Yeah, boy, but they're going to make up for it with, you know, everyone in their starting lineup's got a wingspan of 6'10 or longer. They're going to rebound everything. They're going to beat you. They're just going to be the most physical team. It's going to be a real test of whether jump shooting matters, because they've got everything else.
They are the perfect team, Grant Hughes, and I know this is sacrilegious in the NBA, but they are the perfect team to play a zone type of a defense. They can cover the entire court and not have to move their feet once.
Yeah, I agree. Or, you know, I think they may have to switch a lot just because they don't have a bunch of quick little guys to get over screens and stuff. And it's going to be really interesting just to see how teams try to attack them, because, you know, just – size and length and wingspan, that makes up for a lot. It makes up for quickness. It makes up for missed rotations. I think the Sixers could have one of the best defenses in the league, and it could look unlike anything we've seen in a really long time.
Well, look, I hope you have a fabulous, fabulous weekend, and maybe things will calm down. Who knows? Who knows what's left to trickle down and transpire? But if it does, we will lean upon you as always, and we greatly appreciate your input and your info, man. You're the best. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
All right, buddy, you take care. That's Grant Hughes. Back to wrap up hour number one here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, Acadiana's number one sports station.
You're listening to the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Want to get in on the action? Call us up on the Ardco Equipment Hotline at 337-706-0111.
All right, 54 minutes after the hour, the rain forecast is the next 5 days we're going to get it. Maybe upwards of 2 feet or more of rain. A state of emergency is in effect in our state. 65-mile-an-hour winds. Another National Hurricane Center update coming at 4 p.m., but we'll have updates here on 103.7 The Game every hour on the hour. We'll be staffed throughout the evening. My main man, Clint's going to be a busy, busy dude. And all the people behind the scenes at Delta Media will keep you informed throughout the day, throughout the night, into the early morning hours, and all weekend long. So keep it here. If you lose power, go to 1037thegame.com, use your smartphone, and we'll have all the information for you. 65-mile-an-hour winds as we speak, moving at 5 miles an hour west-northwest. So it's moved a little bit to the west, so that definitely affects Acadiana a little bit more so than the earlier projections. But our thoughts and prayers to all those in New Orleans. My goodness gracious, here we go again. Where I am here in Baton Rouge and where you are, wherever you may be, just be safe, be smart. Just stay put. Stay put, unless it's absolutely vital that you need to get to where you need to get because of a necessary work situation. Then I understand it. Hour number two of the program, Hot Topics. It'll be our Friday Five that Clint has very diligently put together. Bob Rose will join us from Canal Street Chronicles. Training camp's right around the corner. The NFL's about to hit and hit quickly. We're about 50 days away from the start of the college football season, so we've got SEC Media Days starting on Monday. Raymond Parsh, RP3 and company, will do his show each and every morning from Hoover. And then Raymond will join us each day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 2:15 for his bird's eye view of what's taking place in the league where it just means more. It's packed with media members. It's packed with fans. It's just a show in and of itself. And no telling what will go on this year. As everyone's going to predict Alabama in the West, everybody's going to predict Georgia in the East, and we'll see how it all unfolds. But we'll have you covered there. So we'll have you covered for this tropical storm, which in all likelihood will become a hurricane. We'll have it covered at the SEC Media Days next week. And in between, we hope everybody stays safe and sound. Safe and sound. So, again, Roger Federer will meet Novak Djokovic for the Wimbledon title on Sunday. Federer with a four-set win over his rival, Rafa Nadal. It was a tremendous match on the grass at center court. Hour number one history, back for hour number two after this on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Thanks for tuning in to the Jordy Helfrich Show.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Time has pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Helfrich.
All Hour two, and away we go on this Friday, the 12th day of July. I hope you are prepared or nearly finished preparing for Barry, because come around 10 o'clock tonight, you ought to just settle in, relax, and let's hope for the very, very best. We'll keep you updated all throughout the day, the night, the morning, right here on 103.7 The Game. We've got some hardworking people that are going to be there manning the boards and making sure you get the very latest information, however you get that information. Whatever medium you use, we'll have it for you at 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. With that in mind, let's get hour number two started like we always do. Let's take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, button please.
It's Friday. That means we get you ready for the weekend ahead with five.
One, two, three, four, five.
Big questions headed into your weekend. Now let's get it going with your Friday 5 edition of Hot Topics.
Hot Topics brought to you by Cajun Chef. Hot sauce to yourself a flavor. Bring a small bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. Roger Federer will meet Novak Djokovic for the Wimbledon title on Sunday, and a major trade in the NBA. CB, good afternoon, buddy.
Good afternoon, Jordy, and it is definitely an interesting way to kind of start off the weekend. Obviously, everything that happened last night. We'll start off right there, Jordy. Russell Westbrook getting traded over to the Houston Rockets for, of all people, Chris Paul. He's moving back over to OKC, at least for a little bit. Maybe not enough to rent an apartment. Maybe just hang out at a Motel 6 for a few days while you wait to go to possibly Miami. But, Jordy, my question to you is, are you surprised to see see what's happening with the Houston Rockets right now, getting rid of Chris Paul and send him off to the Thunder, and then the Thunder are going to send him off wherever they can get a deal for him?
I am surprised of reuniting Russell Westbrook with James Harden. I just don't know. We talked with Grant Hughes in hour number one. I just don't know how the two can commingle from a basketball standpoint. I don't care about personalities and egos, and I'm just talking about from the pure common sense of basketball. I do not see how the two can fit together. I just don't. So it's very, very surprising to me. And we'll see what happens. It'll be another one of the many, many, many interesting storylines that we'll talk about as the NBA season approaches come October. Wait and see.
I mean, these two guys are definitely probably two of the biggest stat patterns in the NBA. You put these two together, while they want to probably create a lot of offense, you can better imagine that creates a lot of friction in the locker room. Definitely not exactly the best look in the world to have these two on the same team.
And let me tell you, they ain't going to play a lick of defense.
Oh, no. They're
not going to play a lick of defense. You'll be able to score at will on them because they think they can outscore you, but it just doesn't make rhyme or reason. Two players that need the ball, you only have one out there. I just don't see it. So Houston likes them superstars. And what about the Oklahoma City fans? They've been spoiled forever. They don't have those superstars anymore. We'll see if they keep packing the house.
I can't see it right now, Jordy, but you got to think there's a big plan with Sam Presti, because of the fact like they are coming away with this with a plethora of first-round picks, Jordy. It is definitely going to be interesting to see what happens with the Thunder going forward. With a lot of this youth they're going to be building around, because you know they've got a lot of like high-quality first-round picks coming out of the last, let's say, 72 hours.
Yeah. A lot of first-round picks, which means they can package something and try and get another superstar as quickly as they possibly can. Let's wait and see. But Chris Paul's not going to stay at that Skirvin Hotel. That's that haunted house thing. he ain't going to be in that hotel. I can assure you of that.
I wouldn't want to either, Jordy. But, of course, we got to move over. Looking at the NFL, something just came out earlier today about the potential. Again, they're talking about 18 games over the course of a regular season, Jordy. But with a little bit of a twist, this is according to Bleacher Report, put this out. Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft, owner of the Cowboys and the Patriots, respectively, led a discussion at the latest collective bargaining session about expanding the regular season to 18 games. Also, this comes from the Wall Street Journal. The union resisted the idea, but they also floated a proposal that would cap each player's appearance per season at 16 as a possible compromise. Does that make your head hurt, Jordy, thinking about the fact that you'd have to play them only in 16 games? Well, what would you do in the other two games?
Yeah, who are you going to play?
Like, when are you going to do it? You know,
are you going to sit Drew Brees down and lose a game? That's so stupid.
Just stick
that is stupid.
Just stick with the four
owners,
preseason games.
Give up some of the money. Pay the players more. The fans will jump at the opportunity for a real game rather than these preseason games. That's ludicrous. That's ludicrous. No, not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to wind up happening either, Jordy. Because it does not make sense to me to have that. Honestly, you have the preseason to have these situations where some of the players, namely your Drew Breeses, your Tom Brady's, your Alvin Kamara's to a certain extent, to where they don't have to play at all. You don't need to play them in these games. Like, I'd much rather, if that's the case, and just keep the preseason the way it is instead of talking about 18 games.
Well, you know, you know how I feel about preseason games. Why do the pros need it when college players don't get one? It just doesn't make sense to me. Forget about preseason games. Do these joint practices during your training camp, and let's go play for real. And if you don't want 18 games, keep it at 16. Yeah. But I don't care about preseason games at all. You shouldn't charge the fans a dime for it. It's ridiculous. It's a joke. And I wouldn't attend one if you paid me.
I'm by the same boat as well, Jordy. A couple more here. I got to bring up what happened over across the pond. Obviously, Wimbledon 2019, the semifinal. Roger Federer just looking phenomenal. 12th Wimbledon final. Do you consider him to be one of the GOATs? Not just in tennis, but in all sports.
No doubt. He is tremendous. But that's that sport where it's kind of like, it's like a lot of people feel for the NBA. A lot of people feel for college basketball. They don't want to watch it till the tournament starts, and they don't want to watch it till the playoffs start in the NBA. And you don't want to watch Wimbledon until you get to the semifinals, only if the superstars are there. And this year, the three superstars on the men's side all made it to the semifinals. Now you got Djokovic versus Federer for the title on Sunday. That's pretty good stuff. So Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, they're all great. I love Federer, 20 Grand Slam titles. It would be so great if he could get to 21, but he's going to have a tough go. Djokovic is really, really good.
Exactly, Jordy. Going to be pretty interesting to see what happens in that final. That's going to be, Sunday, correct?
Sunday, yeah. Women are Saturday with Serena Williams going against Halep, and then the men on Sunday. I just hope I have electricity so I can watch the darn thing.
Oh, same here, Jordy. Same here, Jordy.
Come on.
But, of course, we're getting closer to college football season, and some odds have come out about the Heisman Trophy, Jordy. And right now you have Tua Tagovailoa. He's a favorite, but he's a slight favorite. 5-2 odds. Well, Jordy, you're talking about quarterbacks. The first five of them. Yeah, first five players, all quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And they're relatively kind of packed tightly amongst each other. Then Jonathan Taylor being the first non-quarterback at 12-1 odds. You don't see a wide receiver until Jerry Jeudy at 25-1 odds, Jordy. It is wild just to see what's going on with the Heisman race. But again, it's Tua Tagovailoa, but right behind him is Trevor Lawrence at 3-1 odds. Which one are you taking right here, right now?
Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence is going to be damn
Lawrence.
Good.
I don't see it. I don't see how Tua can match the numbers that he did a year ago. I mean, up until the playoffs, my goodness gracious, he was unbelievable. But I wonder, it's been a long time since a defensive player has won the thing with Woodson. I wonder, Grant Delpit, has some interceptions, pick sixes and returns, and puts up some big numbers, and you never know. You never know.
He's
that kind of an impactful player. No, it's not going to happen, but you never know.
Exactly, Jordy. We're going to
there you go.
We're going to hear from those guys
CD,
a whole
I know
lot
you're
more.
Be busy all weekend, buddy.
Oh, definitely, Jordy. Be busy all weekend heading into next week.
I'll
be heading to Hoover, Alabama with Raymond for SEC Media Days. So definitely going to be enjoying that.
Oh. I did not know. We need to talk.
Yeah,
be careful.
We'll talk off air, Jordy.
And thanks for all the hard work that you do. Hot Topics. Okay, buddy. Hot Topics brought to you by Cajun Chef Hot Sauce, the best hot sauce on the planet. Do yourself a flavor. Bring a small bottle of Cajun Chef Hot Sauce with you wherever you go. Hope you got some at the store for preparation for the storm, because you're going to need it. Bob Rose talking Saints next.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Helfer Show on 103.7 The Game.
Back Friday edition, the Jordy Helfert Show. Rookies will be reporting for the New Orleans Saints next week on the 18th, and the vets report on the 25th. So the offseason is quickly coming to a close. Thought it'd be fun to bring in Bob Rose, our good old Saints analyst for Canal Street Chronicles, to kind of go over a couple of things. Bob, you staying high and dry, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Jordy, and I certainly hope everybody in the New Orleans and the Gulf Coast region is staying safe and as dry as possible. Luckily, I'm out of the zone. I'm up north a little bit, but definitely looking forward to Saints training camp coming up.
There's a lot of great expectations, obviously. A rookie. What rookie on a very difficult squad to make, because they bring back a lot of veterans? What rookie do you think is going to make the biggest impact this season?
There's two. I think you have to start with Eric McCoy. He was the team's first selection. They moved up in the second round, middle of the second round, to get him. And he is going to be expected to fill the very sizable shoes, in more ways than one, of Max Unger, since Max retired in the offseason. The rest of that offensive line is very established, very skilled, and also very young. So McCoy's going to have a lot of support, but he's going to be the center in front of Drew Brees is the expectation. So that's obviously a very important spot. Brees, like most NFL quarterbacks, is very uncomfortable when he gets interior pressure. So McCoy is going to be expected to team up with Larry Warford and Andres Pete at the guard to keep that inside pocket safe. And then jump into the defensive side. And I was high on this kid coming into the draft. I was hoping the Saints would jump on him in the second round. And luckily for us, he was available in the fourth. But the defensive back from Florida, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, he's projected to be a safety out of the base alignment, but he's been working a lot through the slot cornerback, and I think he is going to push for a lot of playing time if he can prove he can cover NFL caliber receivers out of the slot. He certainly has the athleticism and the skill set, so I'm really looking forward to seeing this guy on the field too.
No question. Bob Rose, kind enough to join us. You mentioned Drew Brees. Is it a three-horse race for who the team MVP is this year?
Wow, that is a good question. I mean, you always have to start, any team, you always have to start with your quarterback. But when you have an elite receiver in Michael Thomas, an elite versatile weapon at running back at Alvin Kamara, I could see either one of those guys, and not only challenging for team MVP, but possibly even league MVP. And then, on the defensive side of the ball, I love what Demario Davis did, from linebacker last year. I think it's a minor crime that he didn't get a Pro Bowl bid. Cam Jordan is one of the finest defenders in the NFL. I don't know if you could talk league MVP with those guys. But I could certainly possibly see a defensive player of the year for either one of those guys.
For the Saints, Bob Rose, Canal Street Chronicles, to take it to the next step and not get robbed, you got to have players that step up and improve from one year to the next. Is there somebody you have your sights set on as who's going to make that leap and become maybe the most improved player on the Saints squad?
Two guys, and I think both come with great expectations already. Last year's number one draft choice, Marcus Davenport, New Orleans gave up so much to get him to move up at the top half of the first round. And he was playing really well the first half of last year. and then a toe injury, a foot injury, kind of hampered his progress. But we do expect a lot of good things from him. He has elite pass rushing ability, and surprised a lot of us with his skill at playing the run as well. So he's going to be filling that spot, that all-important spot opposite of Cam Jordan. So hopefully he can attract some offensive attention to reduce some of the double-team blocking on Cam. But, yeah, Marcus Davenport could potentially make this defensive line for the Saints one of the best ones in the league, even while we wait for Sheldon Rankins to return at defensive tackle. Offensively, you got to expect a bigger jump from Tre'Quan Smith. He had two huge games last year against the Washington Redskins in Week 5, and then later on against the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles at primetime football. In fact, both performances were in primetime. But outside of that, he was largely invisible mm-hmm. for the bulk of the year. The guy has good athleticism, at nice hands, extends for the ball well. But he got, in my opinion, he would get a little skittish in traffic, and he needs to sharpen his routes quite a bit to gain separation at the professional level. But wide receivers, and we've had a few of them, a few former wide receivers on my podcast as well. Wide receiver seems to be the area where you see the biggest jump from guys in from year one to year two. And we even saw that out of Michael Thomas. Mike had a terrific rookie season, but really advanced to the next level in 2017, where he was starting to kind of wiggle himself into the conversation with the better wideouts. We know where he is now. I'm not saying Tre'Quan Smith is the next Michael Thomas, but I am saying that the team is going to expect big things from him, especially when you consider they didn't address the position highly in either the draft or free agency. So that tells you Sean Payton feels pretty comfortable with what he already has in that receiving core.
Make a great point. Bob Rose, Canal Street Chronicles. Look, everything, a 40-year-old quarterback, you got skill position people. That offensive line has been so good. I guess the question is, are they going to continue to be that dominant wall that protects Breeze and frees up Kamara and all those things? How do you value the offensive line, not only starters, but depth-wise this year?
I love what they have. Like you said, they are one of the best offensive lines in the league, the starting five is. And they certainly proved that last year before injuries kind of nickel and dimed them to death, down the course of the season. And I don't think there's any reason to think differently about this core going in. We already talked about McCoy being expected to fill in for Hunger, and I really like what this kid brings to the table. I will tell you what concerns me, though. Teron Armstead and his injury history. He's missed 21 games over the last 3 years, mm-hmm. mostly upper body injuries. When he's on the field, he's one of the best left tackles in the game, but the problem is keeping him healthy and keeping him on the field. In the past, the Saints have always had a decent contingency plan if Armstead were to go down. This year, I don't really see that, though. The most likely scenario, if Armstead or Ryan Ramczyk, a right tackle, were to have some injury difficulties, would be to, again, move Andres Pete from the left guard outside where he's not quite as effective. Now, what the Saints do have, I really like their interior offensive line depth. They signed Nick Easton, who was expected to challenge for that starting center spot before they drafted McCoy. And they mm-hmm. also have Cameron Tom and Will Clapp. And I know for a fact that the coaches are really high on both of those young men. They can play either center or guard, either guard spot. So I like the interior line depth. Obviously, it's a step down from the quality that they have as starters. And health is going to be the key for this unit, as it is with most NFL teams.
Is Armstead the most valuable offensive lineman, or is it a Ryan Ramczyk?
Wow. I got to go with Armstead, only because he does protect his quarterback's blind side. We spoke about how the quality of the entire offensive line goes down just a little bit when he is not in the lineup. Ramczyk has missed one game in his 2 years, and I think that was a coach's decision, if I'm not mistaken. I really like Ryan. Don't get me wrong. I think he's going to show that he belongs in the conversation with the best young tackles in the league this year. But just due to the time Armstead has missed and what happens to that offensive line when he's out, I got to say that Armstead is going to be the most valuable.
Yeah, they have to do a lot of shuffling around, and hopefully he will. He'll have one of those years where it's injury free, and that would certainly bode well. All right, well, training camp right around the corner. Always appreciate your time. I know it's tough sometimes with real work involved, but when you can carve it out for us, man, we greatly, greatly appreciate it. And we look forward to updates as training camp gets underway, buddy. So thank you.
No, for sure, Jordy. I want to thank you for having me on. And it, you know, it's an honor. I'd love to come on anytime.
Well, count on it, my guy. Thank you so much, Bob. Have a great weekend. Bob Rose, Canal Street Chronicles, kind enough to join us. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with more Friday edition, the Jordy Helfberg Show, as we await and anticipate Barry throughout our great state. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Helfberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
Well, it's a Friday tradition. We talk a little dis, we talk a little dat with my buddy George Becknell, who is hunkering down for Barry as well. George, how you doing, buddy? What are your thoughts on this tropical storm here?
Well, Jordy, I'm doing well, man. I think it's supposed to bring a lot of rain. I'm hoping it don't really flood. So I'm out here in Donaldsonville, where I know I got some good food and I got a generator. So we'll see what happens. But prayers up for everybody who's going to be affected or who already has been affected. And hopefully the water don't get too high.
I'm with you. Hopefully this thing moves in, moves out, gets out of here, and we can get back to some semblance of normality. There is no normality in Oklahoma City, is there? Russell Westbrook going to the Houston Rockets. Chris Paul, for the time being, I believe, heading to Oklahoma City, and maybe for the first time since the Thunder were arrived in Oklahoma City, the fans won't have a superstar in all likelihood playing on their team. That's a first.
Yeah, Jordan, it's a major change. You know, Oklahoma City has had Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook. You know, they even had James Harden, and you seem like they were the team that they might have not been built that well, but they always had star power, and their talent level always got them to at least the second round of the playoffs for a long time. And now to look and see Sam Presti pulling his best 1999 Chicago Bulls impression, trying to just blow it all up, it's kind of shocking to me, because I thought they had an opportunity to make a little noise in this new look West with Paul George and Russell Westbrook. But this, it's definitely interesting, because like you said, you always used to see it, Oklahoma City with major talent.
Why is it? Why can't owners and general managers tell these star players when they say, hey, I want to be traded? Why can't they just say, no, you're under contract for us for two more years. No, we're not going to trade you. We want you, and suit up and play. I mean, the players now dictate everything.
Yeah, Jordan, it is because of the superstars. They got a lot of power at this point. And, you know, I think what made this trade kind of happen more so, because if you look at Sam Presti, right, he's been able to get about 8 first-round draft picks since the beginning of free agency. So I think he had to move Russell Westbrook because he's blowing it up. You know, by him moving Paul George, it let me and everybody else know that they weren't trying to win now. So, yeah, Russell Westbrook was upset and he wanted to trade, but I think he was going to trade the block anyway. But because it's obvious rebuilding mode, and even with a superstar like Russell Westbrook, you can't rebuild around him because he's already 31 and he's not the most other player-friendly player to play with because he dominates the ball so much. So I think he had to go regardless. But you're right. You know, people like Anthony Davis, LeBron James, all these guys dictate where they go and who they play for at this point.
Yeah, it's. I understand why owners can't say, look, we signed you for a contract, and that's just the way it's going to be. Who's better off? Is Houston a better team now? Baby, look, Russell Westbrook had Kevin Durant, never won a title. Had Paul George, didn't win a title. Chris Paul came over to Houston, and Houston had the two best back-to-back winning seasons in their franchise's history, although they didn't win the whole thing. They came within a Chris Paul injury, I think, of beating Golden State and getting to the finals, and then anything happens. But is Houston better or worse now with Westbrook? Because I have my opinion.
I don't know, Jordy. I think they're a little better, but not much. I mean, Russell Westbrook and James Harden don't mesh well at all. Like, don't get me wrong. I love me some Russell Westbrook. I love the way he lays it out on the line every game. I love his energy, his passion. But he's a guard playing in today's NBA who's not a great shooter. And then you look at Russell Westbrook paired with James Harden, then they're the most used players in terms of analytics, the two most ball-dominant players in the NBA. So being that you can't play with two balls on the court at the same time, they're going to struggle. But I think they had to move Chris Paul because Chris Paul and James Harden weren't getting along. So I think the Houston Rockets are a little better, but it's clear that the winner of this trade has to be the Oklahoma City Thunder because they're a step closer in getting accomplished what they want to get accomplished. Houston is still under illusion that they can win an NBA championship with the way the team is constructed now, and they can't. With Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook, it doesn't matter. They can't. Sam Presti, on the other hand, Oklahoma City, is trying to rebuild. So you move Russell Westbrook, you got Chris Paul now, a guy who's likely to be traded again. I think, and he's got a whole bunch of first-round picks. I think the winner of the trade is the Oklahoma City Thunder because they're closer to doing what they wanted to accomplish versus the Houston Rockets.
And why do you think Chris Paul and James Harden are at odds? Because Chris Paul likes to handle the ball, and James Harden just won't let him. What's the story with Russell Westbrook? He handles the ball. You think this is going to work? I just cannot fathom. Plus, what are the Rockets good at now? They pitter-patter the ball up. They isolate. They wait, and Harden shoots a three. What does Westbrook do? He's 99 miles an hour, 48 minutes a game. So it just doesn't seem to have rhyme or reason to it at all.
Now, there is no rhyme or reason to it. It's the Rockets getting desperate for another superstar. You know, one of those things to where we're going to get as many good guys as we can without any type of vision of people fitting. The only reason why it worked somewhat in Oklahoma City when they played together before, because it was understood that James Harden was a role player. Now that he's an MVP, he's a former MVP, so is Russell Westbrook.
Yes.
Both of those guys are going to think they're the guy on the team, and I just don't see that working. You know, James Harden's a better shooter than Russell Westbrook, so does he play off the ball? But then he's going to get frustrated when Westbrook is controlling the ball all the time. I'm with you on this one. I don't think this works at all for the Houston Rockets. I think this was a desperate move, and you're going to start seeing a decline of the Rockets a little bit.
I don't see a George McNell, a little this and a little that. I've never seen this before, but in a summer league game, a player ejected after picking up two flagrant fouls in the span of 7 seconds. But, oh, wait, it's Grayson Allen. That's what he does, right?
Yeah, Grayson Allen is that guy, man. You know, he would have been better off playing in the 90s. You know, when they allowed you to be a little bit more physical. But, you know, I'm not surprised to see that. Grayson Allen is the guy. I don't want to criticize him because, like I just said about Russell Westbrook, I love a guy coming out, laying it all on the floor. If you're in the way, I'm going to just knock you down. It is what it is. You know, those type of guys, I love them. So, you know, unfortunately for Grayson Allen, he's about 20 years too young. So he's going to continue to have these problems, but if he changes, his value goes down to me. So But that's the craziest thing I've ever seen in the summer league game, especially. But you got to love it.
Getting ejected. That's pretty. Maybe just wanted to go watch one of the shows or go back to the casino early. I don't know. George Becknell joining us. Your thoughts on Jackson Hayes and the other rookie, Walker, from Virginia Tech playing for the Pels. They've been pretty impressive.
Man, the Pelicans Summer League has been very, very, very impressive. I think everybody's been impressive. They've been able to they have, for the first time, and it's showing on the Summer League team, where you have balance now. You have good bigs. You have athletic bigs who can finish around the rim. You have guys that can block shots. You have guys that can shoot the basketball. Jordan, since you and I have been doing this, we've been talking about the Pelicans / Hornets has been needing shooters for years, you know. So I'm loving those guys play. I think a lot of these guys on the Summer League team, especially two guys that you just mentioned, they'll be able to play in the regular season and actually contribute some quality minutes for these Pelicans. And, man, I have not been excited for this team like I am now since they got the ball. And I know it's crazy because you're thinking, hey, I lost Andy Davis. Why are you this excited? But I think this is the best constructed this team has been probably since Baron Davis and the big cat McGlure left, man. I'm excited about this basketball team, Jordan, and I can't watch enough of them.
I'm with you. Baron Davis and big cat McGlure? Wow. Wow. I don't know if I'm going to agree with you on that one. I love this team. I love the way they are constructed. I really, truly do. And don't you love how Griff is saying, kind of putting the MVP thought into Drew Holiday's mind, telling him, why not you? Trying to take that pressure off of Zion and putting it on him and letting him know he's important to him. I love the mind games being played here.
I mean, but if you think about it, it does make sense. If you look at somebody like Drew Holiday, Drew Holiday has been one of the most, if not the most underrated basketball player in the NBA for a couple of years. Like that sweep when the Pelicans swept the Blazers, Drew Holiday probably should have been MVP of that series, you know, if they give out series MVPs, right? You know, this guy has been playing on a very, very high level and has allowed Andrew Davis to be as successful as he was. So now if you look at the way this team is constructed, he has a balanced team around him. Let's not come in and ask Zion to do too much. You know, you got scoring. You got scoring with Brandon Ingram. You know, you got some defense with Lonzo Ball. You got Derek Favors that the Pelicans was able to get. You got athleticism with Zion. You got J.J. Redick. You got Josh Hart coming off the bench as amazing shooters. This team is built for the success of Drew Holiday. And if he can come out, you know, continue to do what he's been doing, and the Pelicans, despite losing Anthony Davis, could come out and have a good season, I don't see who would be able to beat him in an MVP conversation. I just don't.
I like him. I like him an awful lot. What did you think of the All-Star game, baseball's All-Star game in the Home Run Derby? How would you rate that one?
Man, the All-Star game, I got to give them tens, man. The All-Star game itself, you know, anytime it goes down to the wire, it was a one-run game. It was very watchable. You had the Astros mic'd up. I thought that was really, really cool. You know, anytime you got two LSU Tigers, you know, playing, you know, you got DJ LeMahieu and Bregman, I'm loving it. And then the Home Run Derby, it was like a home run derby that went to, like, extra innings, man. Like, it doesn't get any better than this. And baseball is a sport that's losing popularity every year. I think the Major League needed this.
I think they should mic them up all throughout the course of the season. The game just lends itself to it to me. I really believe that.
Yeah, absolutely. You gotta make this more personable. You gotta improve the fan experience when it comes to baseball. Because if you look at it, that's what everybody's doing in these other sports, right?
You know, you build these fancy football arenas where the fans, they have more interactive things to get the fans more excited. Basketball,
right.
you kind of get to see up close and personal with these NBA players. Baseball, you got to do something to give a similar experience. And if they can do that, then they'll probably increase the popularity and gain some of these viewers who may be looking at other things in the springtime, where back in the day it used to be straight baseball.
I'm with you. All right, what's your go-to, like when the power goes out? What does the Becknell family do to entertain one another? What do y'all do?
Man, well, we're gonna sit around and we gonna talk a little old sports stories, man. We gonna tell some stories about when I played basketball and when my sister played basketball and was a class discus thrower. We gonna talk about them old days because we can't watch it on TV, man. But what does the Holtberg family do?
We break out the board games, man. We break out the checkers, tic-tac-toe. The girls make slime. There's all kind of stuff. Their mom breaks out the board games, and away you go. So hopefully this thing will skirt quickly through. We're going to get a lot of rain. There's no question about that, but hopefully it'll skirt through. And of course, I'll be on the grill. I am the master griller. Rain, snow, sleet, hurricane, tropical storm, it just doesn't matter. The grill must go on.
Enough said, Jordan. The Becknell family is on the way to Baton Rouge to ride out this hurricane with the Holtberg family. You said the magic word when you say grill. I was kind of with you on board games, but when you say grill, I'm in there.
Hey, is that Sunshine Bridge open now, man, or is it still having problems?
Well, it's open. You know, we got one lane open on one side, two lanes open on the other side. It seems like every other day something happens the way they got to close it for a little while. But, you know, I crossed it last night. It's still there. You know, hopefully we get some help on it sooner than later because I don't think it's that safe.
I'm with you, buddy. All right. Well, you and your family stay safe. We look forward to talking to you again down the road. We'll have some SEC Media Day talk next week to talk about because, let's face it, it's kind of when Vegas Summer League is your lead story for a week, that ought to tell you something.
I'm ready for football, Jordan. I'm with you.
Jeez Louise. Earning my keep, brother. Earning my keep. Thank you, George. Have a safe weekend, my friend.
Pleasure's all mine. You do the same.
We'll take a timeout. That brought to you by DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Everything for your travel needs, whether you're going 5, 50, or 500 miles. Cleanest restrooms anyway, and you know how significant that is to the female travel party in your vehicle. That's very significant. And then also that true soul food deli tucked away in the corner. Just a finger-licking good cheeseburger. It is out of this world. DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge. It's my go-to stop. Make it yours as well. You won't regret it. We'll be back. Time for a history lesson, birthday wishes, and a goodbye to the week as we return here. The Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, Acadiana Sports Station.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. Finishing touches to this Friday edition of the Jordy Helpert Show as we await and hope for the best with Barry. And you can come right here to 103.7 The Game. Go to our website, 103.7thegame.com. You lose power. You've got your cell phone. It's right there. You can go to it and get the very, very latest updates. Hopefully, you won't lose power. Hopefully, you won't be in a flooded area. That's the best case scenario. But just in case the worst does happen, Keep it locked in here to 1037thegame.com. We've got everything you need with all the necessary information at the touch of a fingertip, plain and simple. All right, let's get to our history lesson for the day. It was on this day, July the 12th. We go back to the year 1955. Oh, what a great player he was. St. Louis Cardinals superstar Stan the Man Musial hit a home run in the 12th inning to give the National League a 6-5 win over the American League in the annual All-Star Game. Nothing like a walk-off home run to win a game. How about to win an All-Star Game? Stan the Man Musial. As much of a name and a persona to a city as any other anywhere, Stan the Man Musial was St. Louis, Missouri. No question about it. Birthday wishes. If today is your birthday, July the 12th, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. Hope you have a safe celebration. I really, really do. Let's see who you share it with. Happy 32nd birthday to running back LeSean McCoy. Happy 43rd birthday to Brock Lesnar. Oh, yeah. Wrestling extraordinaire. Happy 72nd birthday to, I guess he was the original, one of the original fitness people, Richard Simmons is 72 years old. And, golly, fallen from grace. Happy 83rd birthday to Bill Cosby. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary. I hope you keep adding year after year after year to it. Special thanks to our guest, Chris Cozart. For the past couple of days, you've been very kind to join us from KLFY with the latest important issues involving this storm. And we greatly appreciate his time. Grant Hughes, Bleacher Report, with the big news of the day, and that's Russell Westbrook to the Houston Rockets for Chris Paul going to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Saints rookies will report next week. Bob Rose of Canal Street Chronicles kind of gave us some input on who are going to be the up-and-comers, who's going to be counted on, who's going to be the MVP, such fun stuff like that. And then a little this, a little that with George Becknell. Monday, RP3 and Company in Hoover, Alabama will have reports from the SEC Media Days. We'll recap what we hope will be very limited damage to the Acadiana area and anything that's happened in the world of sports. Congrats, Roger Federer over Rafa Nadal. CD, thank you for all you do. Thanks to all of you for listening. And thanks to our partners who make this thing possible. Have a great, safe weekend. Come on back Monday, same time, 2 to 4, same great station, 103.7 The Game. Until then, I'm Jordy Helfberg. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty. Be safe.